Mediated Conversation on SAFM.
Good morning, time for your mediated conversation this Thursday morning. So I'm sure if you look at all of the issues and problems and difficulties and discussions around us, you could probably just do with a laugh, right? I mean, for the moment, so look at everything around you and just try and laugh at it. Some events are both tragic and funny. Tshwane doesn't have a mayor. It's been a very, very strange series of events there. It's absolutely tragic. But I think some people also see some humour in it. Thankfully, there are people in our society who are able to make comedy, to make us laugh. And when they do, and when they do it well, they may make you feel just a little bit better, even if it's just for a while. So how difficult is it to do that, to make comedy in our society, and how does the business of that actually work? Well, this is what you'll find out this morning. First, you'll hear from Tukunda Bima, founder of the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival and the Podium Agency. Then actually being on stage, making comedy right now, the comedian Lee Sogola, some of the first experience in our society, Emmy Award winner Nokal. And then making comedy in a society like ours. Some of the debates, some of the divides, some of the difficulties. How do you do that? Conrad Koch, this one person who's been sitting on the edge of some of the most difficult divides and debates in our society for some time. We start then with the founder of the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival, Tukunda Bima. Tukunda, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Stephen, and good morning to your listeners.
So I presume in most cases, the only way you fund comedy is through the audience, right? You need to host events that people come to and they pay to come and watch. I presume that's the main thing?
Yes, kind of. I think the events that the comedians do is almost like a shop front, as it were. You know, I think the live events that the guys do, or, you know, performing in comedy clubs, that's how comedians sort of hone their craft, connect with audiences, build a following. But invariably, where they really make their money actually is sort of as they build their brand, all the opportunities that start coming from that. So similarly to other genres in the entertainment industry, you know, let's say, for example, sport, for example, you know, Tiger Woods at the peak of his powers was making 20% of his money was actually made from playing golf. The other 80% was being made by brand Tiger. So endorsements, sponsorships, you know, and if you have a following nowadays, you can have a podcast, you can be on TV, you can do movies. So, you know, the performance piece really sort of like tells your story, allows you to sort of start building your brand. But essentially, it's everything that you sort of do with that brand where you actually then make your money.
It seemed to me there was an explosion of comedy, maybe 10 years ago, round about there. Then came the pandemic. What's happened since then? I mean, is the business moving since the pandemic, or did it go backwards a bit?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's very important to remember, you know, the South African comedy industry is incredibly young. If you think about it, before 94, you know, a lot of comedians in this country couldn't get on stage and express their views and say what they wanted to say. So essentially, you know, it's, you know, the comedy scene is, you know, just over 20 years old. So it's a very young industry. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right. About 10 years ago, which sort of dovetailed or coincided with, you know, Trevor starting to break it, you know, overseas and really sort of shine a spotlight on South African comedy. I think, you know, audiences started sort of waking up to the fact that we have a very vibrant scene, incredibly talented comedians, and that there was great entertainment that they could, you know, purchase or engage or shows that they could go to. So I think there was an explosion around that time. And also, I think, you know, just with what the internet has done, it's really democratized, you know, content. It's democratized, you know, storytelling, audiences. You can have audiences all over the world now for your work. So I think, you know, a lot of things were sort of happening during that time, and comedy really exploded. But the pandemic was obviously like, you know, quite devastating for something that really relies on the live experience, you know, which is stand-up comedy. And obviously for about, what, a year, 2 years, you know, comedians couldn't perform, audiences couldn't go to shows, venues were shut down. So it's been a slow sort of rebuild from there, not only in South Africa, but for stand-up comedy across the globe. And I mean, 2021 was a sort of slow build-up. You saw the comedians starting to tour again. But 2022 and now in 2023, all the big names are doing their massive tours all over the world. All venues are open. You know, so comedy is starting to get back into its stride again, but it's been a slow build. And Hopefully from here, it sort of just catches on again and we start rebuilding the industry.
It's one thing to do a live show on TV, and Netflix is clearly spending a lot of money on this content. I mean, and they're not the only ones.
Yeah,
I noticed quite a few of the streaming services all do that. I'm presuming that watching comedy in an audience, watching the person face to face, and then I think maybe crucially, laughing in the audience, laughing with people,
100%.
Sometimes being uncomfortable and laughing all at the same time, that's a better experience.
100%. No, and it's an age-old conversation, I think, especially once, you know, comedians started packaging DVDs and so forth, and now sort of the comedy special is the order of the day. There's been this age-old debate, you know, especially in the comedy industry globally, is will the live experience ever be replaced? And I'm definitely of the school of thought that it's irreplaceable, that a live experience is visceral, it's multi-sensory. You know, I'm sure, you know, you can attest to this. There's so many times where you've been somewhere or experienced something and people ask, how was it? And you're saying, you know what, you just had to be there. You needed to have experienced it yourself, you know? And somebody might have watched on TV, but they're not getting the same experience as you are. So I think that will never be replaced. And I think for me, what's interesting, you'll see now, Netflix just basically did the first live streamed comedy event with Chris Rock's new special, Selective Outrage, which was literally beamed live all over the world as he performed it. And I think that was even in their strategies that how can we get closer to that raw live experience, you know, even if people are going to be sitting at home all over the world, how can we get to that? So I think it's still sort of sacred and it's still sort of the centerpiece of the stand-up comedy experience. That live experience is really untouchable.
So I mean, is that always going to be an experience people will be prepared to pay for? I mean, is there durability? Going to a room, well, going out, you know, getting in your car, whatever it is, going out maybe with someone, paying money, going and sitting down with other people who you don't know and laughing with people at something.
No, 100%. So, I mean, I think that's the challenge we have in South Africa and across the continent, right? I think, you know, you just have to get onto our social media platforms any day of the week. And you see that sort of comedy runs through our veins, you know, across the continent. You know, they say comedy comes from pain. So technically, you know, with what the continent has gone through, you know, we should be the comedy capital of the world. And I actually believe we will be someday. But I think for the challenge is, so we've got, it's, you know, we understand humor. It's a coping mechanism. You know, it's a way to express ourselves. And through everything we're going through, if we don't laugh, we can only cry. So you almost have to choose. I think the challenge with us is, you know, once we learn how to commodify comedy, how to package it, you know, how to and how to drive demand, because the supply is there. We have so much talent with so many comedians who are incredible at what they do. But unfortunately, there's just not enough demand to drive the entire industry. So you have this top tier level of comedians, producers, managers who are doing incredible work, and the demand that's there. You know, they get the bulk majority of the work and so forth. But, you know, below that, there are all these comedians, you know, supplying great product. But unfortunately, we don't have that large scale demand. And I think, you know, having institutions starting to invest in our culture, in our stories, you know, whether it be government or whether it be brands investing and so forth, you know, is what will start changing that narrative. So, for example, with the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival, having the minister, the Department of Arts and Culture being one of the partners, you know, to support and sponsor the festival has been crucial in its growth and its development. And as we build our numbers and our audiences, you know, then that sort of spreads the narrative of comedy and starts building more demand. So I think there's a big job to be done there. And, you know, as we evolve, as we grow, then I think you'll see much more durability, more people choosing comedy as a career, more platforms being created for comedy, and that would just continue to grow.
And possibly more frustrated parents too. Takunda Bima, thank you very much indeed. Founder of the Johannesburg, founder of the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival and the Podium Agency with SAFM, 16 minutes to 9. Continuing your mediated conversation this morning on SAFM about the business and the creation of comedy. Loyiso Gola is an Emmy Award winner and comedian. He joins us now. Loyiso, good morning.
How you doing? Nominee, not winner.
Nominee, my apologies. I hate promoting people. You've got a new show out in Sandton at the moment. How difficult is it to come up with the material for that?
Not too difficult, Stephen, because I'm very good at stand-up. So for me, it's very easy to write jokes.
Luis, I'm going to ask you just to speak as loudly as you can, please. It's not a great line.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a bit better. Our previous guest made the point that comedy comes from pain. We're going through a lot of pain right now. Does that affect the way that you've created the comedy?
Not really. No. That's not how I create. I create from everything around me. I don't think it's from the pain necessarily. I think everybody...
Luis, I'm so sorry. We actually can't hear you. We're going to call you back by WhatsApp and just try and see if we can improve the reception that we get on that line, because really it's an important conversation that we're having in a strange kind of way. Comedy really, really matters. So we do need to try and talk about that as much as we can and try and get it as clearly as we can for you as well. All right, Luis, so call her back with us now. Luis, well, sorry about that. I was asking the question about whether comedy comes from pain. You were saying not for you.
No, not for me. Not for me at all. I derive from everything. Everything. I'm a very observational human being. I don't even really derive too much from myself. I observe the planet as opposed to draw from myself in that way.
Do you think people want to laugh more than they did, say, 5 years ago? Is there maybe more of a need to laugh?
People want to laugh all the time. I don't know if there's a need. I mean, I don't know if there's a method to calculate that, but I think that there's a saying that goes, people don't need art until they need art. I don't think it pertains particularly to comedy, but I think to every type of art. I think that people are always in need of art. They don't know it the same way people didn't know they needed iPads. They don't know it, but they definitely need it.
Are the jokes changing, or are the jokes still about politicians and people in power?
Me particularly, you mean?
Yeah, everyone, but you in particular.
I think for me, politics, the thing about politics is that everyone tends to separate politics from actual life, and you know, the personal is politics. Everything around us is politics. The water we drink is politics. The cars we drive is politics. The petroleum we put in our cars all pertain to politics. So to isolate it is a bit disingenuous. So in that breath, yes, I do talk about politics, and every comic, as silly as that, even if you're making fart jokes, your idea of stand-up is politics.
Does good comedy have to be honest? I mean, if you have an insight or you speak honestly, is the laugh sometimes there? I mean, do you find that, you know, the sort of truthfulness of it is quite an important factor?
I just think that good comedy just has to have all the right techniques. I don't think there are any rules to it. I think your honesty might not be rewarded with laughter. But some people draw from themselves and their honesty, and they pour a lot of their heart on stage, and that's fine. And then some people just want to be silly, and there's no style or form that's better than the other. So for me, I just think if your technique is good and your timing is good, because stand-up is all about timing. If your timing is good, you can make anything funny, and it doesn't necessarily. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that's personal. It does help to be personal, because if you're personal, you become original in a way, because that experience is very original to you and it's very particular to you. So in that sense, yes, but I don't think that's a rule that I carry or I would just say out loud.
Luis Ogolop, thank you very much indeed. An Emmy-nominated comedian, as you know, performing shortly at the moment, performing at the moment, I think, in Sandton. In a moment, Conrad Koch will join us. The business and the creation of comedy here on SAFM, 11 minutes to 9.
Mediated Conversation on SAFM.
Continue your mediated conversation this morning around the business and the creation of comedy. Conrad Koch, as you know, is a comedian and ventriloquist. He joins us now. Conrad, good morning.
Hey, Stephen, how's it going?
Well, thank you. We have a society that sometimes feels more divided and more angry than it's been for many years. How important is comedy in moments like this? How important is it to still laugh?
Well, of course, laughter really helps create a national identity. It's very much part of South Africa's national identity. And it is a way to deal with pain and so on and so forth. But we tend to glamorize comedy, I think, and that's where it gets difficult. I did obviously a master's degree in the anthropology of humor and how people use it strategically in workplaces. So in the comedy culture of comedy. And my experience was that comedy is also, it's not just a way of dealing with pain. It's also a very important way of defining social rules and what's normal and not normal, what's seen as acceptable for a society. And when I say society, I don't mean the whole of society. I mean the faction of society that listens to comedy. And I think what's, based on what I've heard so far this morning, what's missing is the discussion of apartheid. So I'm very grateful for this job. I love doing comedy and so on. But one of the hardest parts is the fact that South Africa is so economically unequal, which means the people who pay for comedy have certain interests, which means that they, you know, white South Africans are still on average, you know, like four times or whatever it is, wealthier than black South Africans, which means if you suck up to white South Africa and you say what they want to hear, you don't bring up apartheid, you make it sound like we're all happy families, and, you know, you don't point out the inequality around us, or you play into doing hyperbolized black accents, working class black accents that they can laugh at, to say these people are more intelligent than those people because they sound more like me. You actually just play into a group of people that will pay. You'll be very loaded because you can sell out theaters. My fans are mostly like Uber drivers and working class people who can't afford theater tickets. So I've had to build a very big fan base in order to get a smaller fraction of society to come see my shows. It also means that businesses will be less likely to give you support. So in other words, if you're going to get sponsorship from CakeNet, you're going to be CakeNet's favorite comedian, you better not bring up apartheid or they will kick you out that door immediately. So the sense of truth-telling in our society is very much dictated by where the money is and what is sayable within that economic environment. So in other words, if you bring up apartheid on Jacaranda FM, they will kick you right off. I know that because I can't get onto Jacaranda.
Okay. Causing offense. I mean, there's often the butt of a joke. Is it harder to find those targets, to hit targets, than it used to be? And I suppose, I mean, maybe I'm asking a question about what's called cancel culture. Maybe it's a bit more complicated than that. But is it, I mean, you don't have to cause offense to be funny, but it can sometimes help, if you see what I mean.
I completely understand. Well, firstly, there's a lot of comedy that's joyful, and most of my comedy shows are actually very joyful and fun and playful, and you won't get, no one will get offended. There's a talking lion. There's an old guy explaining how rugby works. There's lots of different characters that aren't necessarily offensive. The next thing is, I actually enjoy this whole culture because what's going on is people who generally had the microphone, which tends to be more white guys and more men, comedy is very male dominated, more straight guys, would then tell jokes about people who weren't in the room, say black people or women or gay people. And so now we're in a situation where mocking people who, and I'm putting inverted commas around this, have less social power often because they don't always control the money, is harder to do. And I like that because I never did that to start with. So in other words, the world has caught up with my opinions originally were. In fact, I'd say in South Africa, we're quite far behind the rest of the world in a lot of these issues. So it's difficult because if you go on stage and you're, hey, let's see people as complex and interesting, and 2 seconds later, in front of a very white corporate audience, a colored comedian will go up and say, watch out, I'm colored, I will stab you. He's just sold out to the whiteness of the room. And I understand it's difficult because it's complex, its audience is prejudiced to start with. They're going to see you in a certain way. But what happens is we feed the racists what they want to hear. And it's just part of comedy in South Africa. And if you do it, you'll get sponsored. So I don't have sponsorship money. I have to make my money out of being very good at corporate gigs. I'm trying to get more of that, like Chester does, like goes to Mug and Bean and mocks the muffins. But it's complex because the money goes to, like, if who Nando's gives its money to and who Savannah gives, because they're basically the two main ones sponsoring comedy. is very much a product of who has access to the executives at Nando's, which is why Gareth Clough ended up at Nando's and not someone who's a sort of more working class comedian, because the paths to their power tend to be white and privileged.
Okay. The divisions in our society, sometimes they can be hugely, well, divisions are inherently divisive, but sometimes I wonder if there's comedy in how we sort of misunderstand each other, or if actually that's not something we should laugh at all.
No, we could definitely laugh at that. I think we should laugh at that. I had a show now on racism, which was entirely focused on the premise of the show was that we are all to some degree racist. And of course, a white South African, that comes with a bucket load of privilege. My parents weren't forced to go to, you know, do working class jobs and given lesser education. I got access to education and the skills that I have because of apartheid in many ways. So in other words, pointing out that is divisive, but dealing with it and actually processing it is actually incredibly healing for most of the country. The people who need to hear it will experience it as divisive. But if they listen and calm down and realize you're not being attacked, it's not your fault. No one's blaming you. You didn't create a party. You see the divisive sounds divisive until you listen enough, and then it becomes healing. So the process is sometimes feels rocky. So when you ask, can people be offended? Yes, it's fine to, people are idiots. It's often. So you're going to offend someone. The problem is, are you speaking truth to who's powerful in the room? Not all comedians, and I'd say most comedians don't care that much about that. They just try to get by so they can get the paycheck. So it just becomes difficult because your moral backbone costs you your income. So you've got to balance when you speak truth to power versus when you need to pay, make some money. It's this weird thing. But at the same time, it's very gratifying because you do really create moments of real togetherness that I think a few other moments can create in South African dynamic. The other thing that happens with this is South Africans tend to congregate tribally. And I don't mean like the Zulu Xhosa, though sometimes that is the case. In other words, you often get comedians who go to their favorite white comedian, their favorite Afrikaans comedian, their favorite colored comedian, their favorite Zulu comedian. So speaking across those boundaries is something that I've worked on in my career. And I'm very proud that when people come to my shows, they represent the whole of South Africa. That is often not the case for our comedians because people tend to move towards people that connect with their cultural position.
Conrad Koch, thank you very much indeed, a comedian and ventriloquist. My thanks also, we mediated a conversation this morning to the comedian Louise Ogola, and starting us off today, Tukunda Bima is the founder of the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival and the Podium Agency. Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the comedy. And we will see you tomorrow from Mdu, from Sia, from Banyana, from Sansa, myself. Look after yourself. You're with SFM. Leading the conversation, it is 9 o'clock.